Chapter 1 again tonight, Luke chapter number 1. We're studying through this New Testament book together. Again, we're doing patchwork throughout the Gospels. After we preach through Matthew, there's certain sections of Mark that Matthew did not deal with, certain sections of Luke that Matthew nor Mark have dealt with, and that's the passage that we're dealing with in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope on his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 46. The title of my message tonight is the phrase, "Magnify the Lord." Magnify the Lord. Let's pray together. We're going to share this song of praise from the lips of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. I know, Lord, that you've already given what you want us to know. You've said it. You've meant it. It's the truth. And I pray that you help me to do an accurate job in explaining it. Speak to us now, I pray. I want to hear from you tonight. And I pray that as we do our best to magnify the Lord, would you draw near to us, help us to feel your presence tonight, and may the will of God be done. May a smile come to your face as you visit with us here at Buffalo Ridge. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue in our study through the book of Luke, we have come to a very precious portion of the Word of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is on full display for us in these verses. Now, in context, she has just been told concerning her being chosen as the mother of the coming Messiah. She's overwhelmed with the goodness of God and breaks out into this heartfelt song of praise. Now, before we get to the outline concerning what she magnified the Lord in, let us consider some introductory thoughts concerning her song. As a matter of fact, when you read this song that she sung here, listening to her song, it's important to note just how acquainted this woman was with the Word of God. It's reported how there are numerous allusions in this song to the law, to the Psalms, and to the prophets. In her song, she was simply trying to magnify the Lord for His goodness in her life, and to those generally, and to the nation of Israel. It's also interesting to note how she said her soul magnified the Lord. This means that her song of praise did not go from the outside in, it came from the inside out. It was truly heartfelt praise, not some fleshly performance. All her will and affections were involved in her sincere song of praise to her wonderful God. And notice as well that her desire was to magnify the Lord. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." This word means make great. My soul doth make great the Lord. My soul doth praise and celebrate the Lord. Tonight I brought with me a magnifying glass. And as we think about this sermon, magnify the Lord, you may not remember the thoughts, you may not remember the outline, you may not remember anything, but I promise you more than likely you're going to remember the magnifying glass. Now here's what I want you to think about. Is my life magnifying the Lord, or is my life minimizing the Lord? Is it truly magnifying Him, or is it minimizing Him? Matter of fact, just what this magnifying glass does whenever you put it over something, it makes whatever is behind it a lot bigger, a lot more clear. And this is what Mary's saying. She's saying, my soul, my inner being, I'm talking about who I really am. All I want to do is make God a little bit bigger in this world. I want to celebrate him. I want to praise him. I want to lift him up so everybody can see him a little bit clearer than maybe they see him now. See, much of so-called, now get this, friends, this is what real Bible music is all about. I'm telling you this, I'm talking about tonight, now this is not my message, I just felt it'd be appropriate just to put a jab in right here, but let me say this, much of so-called Christian music today appeals to the flesh instead of appealing to the soul and the spirit. Friends, the purpose of music is not entertainment, but it's to teach and admonish others in the things of God. Music should exalt Jesus Christ. Music should not exalt man, and music should not exalt the music itself. It should all magnify who Jesus Christ is. See, music here, get this. As far as we know, we don't even know if anybody else is around. Maybe Elizabeth. Maybe John the Baptist in the womb, and just like when he heard the salutation of Mary coming into the house, he leaped. Who knows what John the Baptist is doing while he hears this dear woman of God singing the praises of his Lord and Master. I'm telling you that she's singing from her heart. She's singing to God. She's not singing to man. She's not singing to please somebody. She in her heart is overflowing with gratification. She in her heart is just so appreciative of what God's done for her that she says, I've just got to sing something to God for how good he's been to me. You know, there's been some people who said it this way. One person said that concerning music today, that a lot of people are laughing, a lot of people are applauding and having fun, but there's no weeping and praying at the altar. May I tell you something, friends? Now, I respond different than maybe you respond. When I feel the Lord's presence, a lot of times I cry, I weep like a baby. Some people laugh. I do that sometimes too. If you ever see me up here laughing, it's not because I'm making fun of somebody. It's that the Holy Spirit of God's passing by my heart. And sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cry. But let me say this to you. If the whole time you listen to your music, all you do is tap your foot, all this kind of stuff, and you never praise God because of what you listen to, you are listening to the wrong thing. Now notice I'm not telling you that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I can say this in general terms, that your music is either minimizing Jesus or it's magnifying him. Which one is it? Which one is it? I'm telling you that we are to choose music that allows one to think on Jesus rather than tap our foot and just get emotionally charged. Ask yourself this question about your music. Who is worshipped in it? And what gospel is being preached in it? Let me say it again. The music you listen to, who is worshipped in it? And what gospel is being preached in it? Now, aren't you glad I'm not preaching on that tonight? I'm not. And I'm not going to get up here and tell you that that's wrong, that's wicked, that's ungodly. I've learned a long time ago, if you are right with God, your heart's right with God, you know if the music you're listening to is right with God as well. You already know it. I don't have to say that's wrong or that's right. God will tell you if it's wrong or it's right. And I'm telling you that this, what we're reading tonight, is a song from a sanctified woman who is just overflowing with gratitude for her God. Ephesians 5:18-19, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not to the audience. Not to the people, not to the church, but to God. Now, this song of Mary is truly a song of praise. coming from deep within her. She said, it's coming from my soul. She burst out into praise for her great God who had shown such amazing grace to her. She opens her song by saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And the rest of her song, all the way down through verse number 55, the rest of her song, all she's doing is she's bringing out different things to magnify the Lord. She's magnifying three things I see in this text. In other words, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And she magnifies three things about him. Here we go. Number one, my soul doth magnify the Lord, first of all, for his regarding her personally. His regarding her personally. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 46. We've already read this. We'll just read it here again. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he hath, here it is, regarded. There's the word, regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. She says, me, my. He's done something for me. This is what she's magnifying. She said, I want you to know something when I sing this song, that he's not only done something generally, he's not only done something nationally, he's done something individually for me. This is what she's saying. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. I'm telling you that the first thing she does is she magnifies the Lord for him taking time to think about her. Now stay with me. There's a couple things in these verses that we see that she praises him for doing for her. First of all, under this is all under number one, his regarding her personally. First of all, under this, he saved her. She's praising and magnifying him for his salvation. We see this in verse 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. My Savior. In this verse, we see Mary recognize her own need for personal salvation. She realized that she needed the grace of God to forgive her sins. She knew she needed a Savior just like anybody else did. By the way, that blows a hole through the Roman Catholicism movement. If you got to talk to Mary herself and she knows what's going on down here, she would call it blasphemy herself. Because I'm telling you that she was a human being just like you and I are. And I'm saying this to you, that she recognized that God was not only a Savior, not only the Savior. She said, my soul is rejoicing, my spirit is rejoicing in God who is my Savior. That's what she said. And I'm telling you one thing, friends, she just can't help but sing praise to God because he saved her never dying soul. Let me say this to you. If you're truly a born again child of God, you have something to magnify the Lord about. You really do. I'm telling you that he has personally regarded you. Hey, has he regarded the world? Yes. Has he regarded America? Yes. Has he regarded some families? Yes. But salvation is not a national thing. Salvation is an individual thing. And I'm telling you, if you have been saved, that's because God Almighty regarded you as an individual and he saved you for all eternity. And you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. And we ought to magnify him for that. I'm telling you that he has set us free from eternal wrath. And friends, that's enough to sing praises for all eternity about. I'm telling you tonight that we were on our way to a Christless eternity. We were going to burn in eternal flames forever and ever. By the way, we would do that justly. We deserve that. We broke his law. We're not perfect. We are imperfect. God is a perfect God. He demands perfection, and we have all fallen short of that. And justly and righteously, he could send every one of us to hell. But somebody took a Bible and shared with you the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. And the Holy Spirit said, you need me. And I'm the only way you can get to where I am. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, He took you off of the road to condemnation and He's put you on the road to glorification. Somebody say amen right there. She is magnifying the Lord for His regarding her personally. She said, I just want you to know that in verse 48, He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. She's talking about herself. She's saying, He's regarded me. He's thought about me. Praise His holy name. Luke 17, 12 to 17. Just talking about how we need to stop and praise God for His salvation. You know, sometimes we get too busy. By the way, I know sometimes that there's troubles in this life. I understand that. I realize that sometimes people get down in the pits of despair. I understand all of that. But friends, no matter how bad it gets, if you are saved, the worst thing that could happen to you is you see Jesus. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. You say, Jody, what's the point? I'm saying this. When you get a grasp on what God has done for you and your salvation, you'll do what Mary did. She said, my soul's bursting. My spirit is rejoicing because God is my Savior. Luke 17, 12 to 17, as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers. Leprosy in the Bible is a spiritual picture of sin, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one out of 10%, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said this, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Now before we get hard on those lepers, when's the last time you were so overwhelmed with gratitude that you fell flat on your face not to ask God for anything, but just to say, God, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. When's the last time you got on your face in your private place begging God, thanking God, praising God, magnifying God, for just being your Savior? We could stop right there, friends. She's magnifying the Lord for His regarding her personally in salvation. And then not only that, but for also showing her favor. We see this in verses 48 and 49. She says, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. See, in these verses, we see her magnifying the Lord for just looking on her with favor. That's what that word regarded means. It means to look upon something with favor. That's what it means. It's a great word. In other words, she's saying this, for He hath looked on me with favor, who is somebody of low estate, who's nothing more than His handmaiden. What is she saying here? She identified herself as a handmaiden with a low estate. I looked that up. You know what that means? Those two words, low estate. You know what she's saying here? She's saying, I have no rank. That's what she's saying. In other words, in the army or in business or anything else, there are people with rank there. There are people that, hey, you treat them a little bit different because of their rank. You follow me what I'm saying, aren't you? Here's what she's saying. She's saying, hey, He's looked on me with favor. and I have no rank at all. He's saying, she's saying right here, listen, it is all the amazing grace of God in my life. That's what she's doing here. She's saying, he didn't choose me because I'm something great. I don't have any rank. I'm just a handmaiden of low estate. I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me. But God looked on me. And God looked on me with favor. And she went on to say, he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. She realized that the powerful and holy God showing her favor was not due to her deserving it, but was all by his mercy and by his grace. You know, in the same way, let us all realize that anytime the Lord regards us, anytime the Lord looks at us with favor and he blesses us, it's not because of our greatness. It's not because we have rank. But rather it's because he is a God of grace who shows favor on the lives of his children. He is all powerful and he is holy and he does great things for us because he's good. That's why he does it. He doesn't do it because I deserve it. Friends, remember, the best I deserve is hell. That's the very best I deserve. And yet, he not only saved her, he looked at her with favor. I'm trying to paint a picture here. This is Mary, okay? She's nothing. She's a nobody. And here sits the all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God who has need of nothing. He could send her to hell and be just in doing it. But instead of doing that, some reason, he looked at her. And he looked at her not as, he looked at her like, I like that. And when she saw that, she started singing to him about it. She started praising him for his favor. Let me ask you a question. Has God done great things for you too? Has he been good to you, friends? Has he blessed your life? Hear Mary. He hath regarded his handmaiden who is of no rank. He is holy. And he who is mighty, hath done great things for me. Psalm 44:3, talking about the Israelites, said, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. How good is God, men? 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for thee. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse number 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 71, verse number 19, here's what it says. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Number one. She magnified the Lord for his regarding her personally. Secondly, she magnified the Lord for his rule over others. We see this in verses 50 to 53. We're going to be looking at this in detail, so I'm not going to read those verses now because I'm going to read it as we get to them. The first section, verses 46 down to verse number 49, she's praising God for what he did for her personally. Now she turns her attention to the rest of the world and says, now I'm going to praise him for what he does for people generally. And in these verses, we see that he's the one calling the shots. That's what she's bringing out. That whoever it is, God decides what happens. If he does that, God will put him down. If he does that, God will lift him up. If he does that, the answer's in God's hands. In other words, she's praising him that he's on the throne. Can I say it that way? That he's ruling over others. Let's look at these verses. Look at verse number 50. And his mercies on them that fear him from generation to generation. Question, what was she just praising him for in her own life? His mercy. So she changes and says, hey, if you fear God, he's going to give you that same mercy. That's what she's saying. She's praising him for showing his mercy, not just on her, but on all those who fear him from generation to generation. You know, this is a direct reference to Psalm 103, verse 17. You know what that verse says? You think Mary might have known a little bit about the Word of God? Listen to this verse. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. What she's doing here is she's praising God for showing his mercy on all those who fear him. Question, even those who fear him, do they deserve his mercy? Yes or no, friends? No. But aren't you glad he calls the shots? And he who is mercy, he will make the decision. If they fear me, I will extend mercy. Why? Because he's the ruler. He's the omnipotent one. He can do that. Look at verse number 51. He has showed strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the imagination of his hearts. Now, let's just take the first phrase. He has showed strength with his arm. Interesting. This came out in my study that on this expression that he has showed strength with his arm. It's interesting, in the book of Exodus, which we're studying through, we've not gotten this far in Exodus, but when we get there, it's interesting that God's power, listen, this is not original with me, so I can say this. This is good stuff I'm getting ready to give you here, okay? God's power in the Bible is represented either by his finger, by his hand, or by his whole arm. It's interesting that when he sent the lice, the plague of lice, upon the Egyptians in Exodus 8:19, they said, this is the finger of God. It's blessing my heart thinking about this. The other miracles, Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, is identified as he did these by his hand. Yet the destruction of Pharaoh and his host in the middle of the Red Sea, where he parted the Red Sea and then brought it back down upon the enemies, is said that he did that in Exodus 15, verse 16, by his arm. You listening to me? In other words, she is praising God that he has shown his mighty power not just with his finger, not just with his hand, but with his whole arm. Let me ask you a question. What does the Red Sea picture? Salvation. Because God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he takes them across dry ground, and then he drowns their past. He buries it in the depths of the sea. That's an accurate picture of Bible salvation. Interesting that says that was done by the arm of God. What has just been told to Mary? What has Gabriel just shared with Mary? You are highly favored among women, and God hath chosen you to bear the Christ child, the Messiah, his son, his salvation. And in this, her heart is exploding. Her soul is speaking from within. Her spirit is overwhelmed. And she says, I just want to praise you that you are showing your mighty power of your arm. That doesn't make any sense to you. May the Lord help you. I'm telling you, this woman had it right. Look at verses 51 and 52, the latter part. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. In these verses, by the way, all of this is under point number two. She's magnifying him for just ruling over others, just bearing the rule, sitting on the throne, calling the shots. She proceeds to say here how he put down the proud and mighty and exalted those of low degree. In other words, the Lord lifts up the humble, but he lowers the proud. You know, this is found throughout the Word of God. In other words, people can choose to be humble or they can choose to be proud, but the Lord bears rule and determines the outcome. If they're proud, he's going to demote them. If they're humble, he's going to exalt them. Why can he do that? Because he's God, friends. He bears rule. Verse 53, look at it. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. In this verse, we see both the hungry and rich both come to him. They both need him. In other words, right here's what he's saying. All stand in need of me. Some realize it, some don't. Verse 53. And he's saying, all those who come to me and realize that they're hungry and they have a need and they need me, I will fill them. But everybody else who comes to me and they're rich and all they're trying to do is just add to their riches, they don't really need me, they think they don't need me, and they act like they can do without me, I'm going to send them away empty. Question. How can he do that? How can he turn somebody down and not turn somebody else down? Because he's God. And he has rule over every human being on planet Earth. Every one of them. Which means if you live by what he says and he says he's going to bless you, he will bless you because he has power to do it. But if he says you do this and I'll do this, he's going to do it because he bears rule. She's praising him that he has the power to take care of all things. That's what she's praising him for. See, the bottom line to this section is how Mary magnifies the Lord for how he is the one calling the shots in the affairs of men. In other words, those who fear him, those who are humble, and those who come to him in need, they will find mercy, exaltation, and filling. But those who do not fear him, they are proud and think they don't need him, will not find mercy, will be put down and sent away empty. The point is, these actions are determined by God himself, who has rule over all men. He is on the throne. That's what she's praising. The Bible says in Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. The Bible says in Daniel 4:17 and then verses 24 and 25, says this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Can I say this to you? Whatever's going on around us, and there's a lot of junk going on around us, friends. I don't watch the news that much, to be honest with you. So somebody, you need to stay in touch. I try to stay in touch, but I try to stay away from that bunch of junk too. Because the fact of the matter is, if you watch so much of that stuff, and that's all you watch, walk around like this, woe is me, it's over, it's finished, it's done, it's settled, America's down the tube, everything else. Can I say this? If America goes down, God is still on the throne, he's still powerful, and he rules over every kingdom on planet Earth, and nobody's going to dethrone him. Amen tonight. I'm telling you, she's praising him. She's glorifying him. She's magnifying him for him personally regarding her. She's magnifying him for his rule over others. But then she finishes her magnification, if you will, by praising him for his remembering his promises. We see this in verse 54 and 55. He hath hoped, he hath helped, if you will, his servant Israel. Notice it, here it is, here's the word, in remembrance of his mercy. Notice this, verse 55. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary finishes her song by praising the Lord for helping Israel and remembering his mercy just as he said he would. She's saying, I'm praising you, I'm glorifying you because you have remembered your mercy just like you said. In other words, she magnified the Lord for keeping his promises. She was giving God praise for doing what he promised he would do. Can I say this to you? If God did not keep his promises, it's over, friends. It's finished. It's done. Let's close our Bibles. Let's go home. Because if you cannot trust the promises of God, you do not know you're going to heaven. You don't know that. You don't know if he'll ever leave you or not. You don't know if he'll take care of your needs or not. You don't really know if your life's in his hands or not. You don't even know if he's really who he says he is. You don't even know if heaven's real. You don't even know if hell's real. Do you realize that the Christian life hinges on the promises of God? It really does. And I'm glad to announce that it makes no difference what somebody else says. Makes no difference. God always keeps his promises. And that's enough to shout glory about right there. One man put it this way. Promises are, in fact, the manna that we should daily eat and the water that we should daily drink as we travel through the wilderness of this world. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Let me conclude this. Mary has been visited by Gabriel. How'd you like to get a visit from Gabriel tonight? I don't really know how I would respond, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Somebody, I'd like to see him. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, she's just been visited by Gabriel. Just earlier in this chapter, and Gabriel said, you have been chosen. Here's what he said. He said, you've been chosen to bear the Son of God. And he said, Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He's going to be great, Mary. Read it for yourself. He's going to be great, and his kingdom will never end. Let that bless your heart right there a minute. Needless to say, the Lord choosing her in this way was overwhelming. Overwhelming for her. And as a result, her soul, her spirit and soul began to churn. And she began to explode out the mouth, just magnifying the Lord for his unmatched favor, grace, and mercy in her life. She went on to magnify the Lord for his authority over everything else and for his keeping his promises all the time. You know, thinking about my own life, and I'm just about done here, but thinking about my own life, and I want you to think about yours. I'd like to pause just a moment and magnify the Lord from my soul. Just to thank Him and to praise Him for how good He's been to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. I want one person from this section right here that if God's telling you to do it, I want you to stand to your feet and say, I want to magnify the Lord for, and fill in the blank. Amen. Somebody in the middle. You just know God's doing it. You know God wants you to get up. I'm not trying to force anybody to do this. But if there's somebody in the middle, say, I just want to stand and I want to magnify the Lord from my soul for fill in the blank. Anybody at all? Somebody here? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Both of you. Just, I'll get you in just a moment. Yes, yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen. Go right ahead. Anybody in the balcony? So I just want to stand and magnify the Lord. It's okay if you don't. That's fine. Yes. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Your heart's beating out of your chest. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Somebody else just, hey, we'll take a few minutes here. I know it's a Wednesday night. We're doing fine. Anybody else, your heart's about to beat out of your chest? Anybody at all? I just don't want you to go home and regret you didn't get up. Anybody like that? Yes. Yes. God bless you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Sing this with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. As you come to the piano, Miss Carol, if you don't mind, I hold this up. It's a magnifying glass. May we be walking magnifying glasses. That as people watch us, hear us, consider us, God's a little bit bigger, a little bit clearer, and a little bit more appealing because they see Him through us. Are you magnifying or are you minimizing the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to bow quietly. I want you just to begin to play through something softly. If you're here tonight, not sure that this Lord is your Savior, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight you just want to come to the altar and say, God, I really do want my soul to magnify you. The altar's open. Now is your time. Rejoicing in what God has done. You know, sometimes you preach through books and it's convicting. Sometimes you preach through books and it challenges you, comforts you. Sometimes you preach through and you get to passages like this and it just centers your attention on God. And it just began to meditate on Him, think about Him, chew on Him a little bit, praise Him for what He's done. He has been so good to us. Let us magnify His name. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this precious time around your word. And how the mother of our Lord, my, what a mother she was. And from her soul, she magnified God. And her spirit rejoiced in God. My, what a challenge that is to us. Help us to leave here with our magnifying glasses wiped clean, ready to show the world the great God who has been so loving and gracious to us. Bless now, I pray, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. God bless you. You'll be back on Sunday. Try to bring somebody with you. And let's tell somebody about Jesus. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.